There are folks in our fellowship that smile all the time, and you never know what's going on in their life. You don't know if they're facing a problem or not. And it's not a put-on smile. It's because Jesus walks with us through our difficult places. I'm looking around this morning, and I see smiling faces, and I know you're facing some difficulties. But how many of you know that in the midst of the jail cell, with his back bleeding, Paul and Silas prayed and sang at midnight? We have a lady that's a part of our fellowship that's been here almost as long as I have. She came here as a result of Charlene Laird's invitation. And she's been faithful. She and her husband participate in Children's Church and a number of other ministries here. And it's just a great privilege to be on this journey with the Bradfords. Sunday night or so ago, and those of you who missed the Sunday nights on Zoom, I know some of you can't get there. The reason I've asked her to speak this morning is because what she shared on a Sunday evening, I think, was of such God-honoring content, and it was very encouraging that if you're going through a problem this morning, you're going to want to listen carefully as Karen Bradford comes this morning and she shares her journey. Would you help me welcome Karen Bradford, wife of John, wife of John.
Okay, I can hear myself. Isn't that a little loud?
That's good.
Okay, technology. I don't know if I can do it all at the same time, and I am nervous, but I had spoken to Lewis. I had run by the church a couple of weeks ago, and he said, we were just talking, and then I leave, okay? And then I get a phone call from Lewis, and I'm like, okay, you know, what's up? And he said, I was wondering if you would share what you did on Sunday night on a Sunday morning. And I heard these words come out of my mouth, sure. You know, and so I was driving off, and I thought, what in the world did I just do, you know? And but a couple of scriptures came to my mind, and I went home and I looked them up, and one said to sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So if you see some fear on me today, it's biblical, okay? It's scriptural. And then it also says in 2 Timothy 4:2, be ready in season and out of season. So I thought that pretty covered everything. You know, there's never not a good time not to share. Amen. So here I am sharing this path that Father God had me to walk on. It's just one of many. And I hope to share from my heart how I documented this path with scriptures, prayers, and journaling. 2020 was the year of COVID, but to me, it was so much more. And so I got a brand new journal to document this new and scary adventure with God healing me from breast cancer. I found this picture on Facebook, and I decided it needed to go on the first page of my journal. Even when times are bad, God is good. And I thought, that's a pretty good beginning. And so my first entry in my journal was, I'm sitting in a boat on a hot, windy day full of North Louisiana sunshine. John had taken us out fishing, and I was writing in my journal to God. And I put, although I had had a follow-up mammogram and an ultrasound and a needle biopsy, I didn't think any of it was cancer, because I had gone through all of those callback tests before over the years, and it never was. But then I got a call to come in at 3 o'clock and see my doctor, and I knew what it was. I cried a lot that day, and John went with me to the appointment. But when I got there, there were no tears when I met with my doctor, and then we went and saw my surgeon for an impromptu meeting, and I didn't cry then either. But when I left and started sharing with all my friends, the tears came again. And I wrote in my journal, I said, Father, you are good and you have paths for me to walk. I don't believe you want me to be sick with cancer, and I know you can heal me. Will you heal me, my Lord? Jesus' body was broken for my healing. I believe that. So that July 14th entry was my initial writing that started this path. But it also started a moment-by-moment walk with God, looking for Him and evidences of His hand in my life. My first scripture entry was Psalms 57. Okay. This was a scripture that I found back in 1996 when I had my first breast cancer scare. And I thought, you know what, it's pretty good for this time too. It says, I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until this disaster has passed. I said this disaster. I cry out to God most high, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. I figured if anybody can fulfill their purpose, it's God. Amen. And so He was going to fulfill this purpose for me. That encouraged me. And then I like it how it says, God sends His love and faithfulness. I'm like, I hear you, God. I love His love and faithfulness. You know, I read these words now to y'all, but then going through that with that cancer diagnosis hanging over me, I feasted on each word and what they meant, and it brought strength and encouragement to my spirit. Also in my journal, I listed all those who reached out to me on Facebook and said that they would be praying. It was very encouraging to see pages and pages of saints' name bringing my name before the throne of God. And several of y'all's names are written in there. In my journal, I also would write portions from a book, from books that touched my heart. And I had been rereading one called Hinds Feet in High Places. It tells about a girl, her name was Much Afraid, who wants to go to the high places with the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd had just signed Much Afraid two companions to go with her on this journey. And I remember when I read this book for the first time back in 1982, I'm like, journeys, companions, it's going to be like comfort and love, or peace and happiness. No. Their names were sorrow and suffering. And I can remember going, oh my God, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, you know. And so the shepherd asked in the book, will you trust me, Much Afraid? And I love her reply. Because it wasn't like Peter, I will never deny you, or yes, I will trust you. Her response was, help me to do what you've asked me to do. You help me to do what you've asked me to do. Help me to trust you. I just love the honesty in that. And then he said, fear not, Much Afraid, only believe. And I thought, okay, there are my marching orders. Let's believe. So my entry on July the 17th, I wrote, Father, I want to walk this path, dealing with cancer, finding you and knowing you in a way that changes my life forever. And he responded in his word with Psalms 25. Now, no, he didn't say, Karen, go read Psalms 25, you know, or anything like that. But when I was reading in the words, that scripture burned in my heart. It says, make me know thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. The words like way, path, and journey, those were my key words. And it said, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all the day. I love this. According to thy loving kindness, remember, oh, I skipped part. It says, do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. How many of us can say that and mean it? I know I can. Don't remember me because of that, you know, please don't. But according to thy loving kindness, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. And here comes my favorite. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. So I responded in my journal and said, I will not fear this path that God has me on. All the paths of my Lord are loving kindness and truth. And I also added Psalms 32:7. We all know this one. We sing it, or used to sing this song here. It says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou dost preserve me from trouble. Thou dost surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Oops, I gotta go back. Okay, based on that scripture, I got a picture of myself, and I glued it in my journal, and I wrote these words around it. The Lord's loving kindness surrounds me. Loving kindness surrounds me. Songs of deliverance surrounds me. Father God surrounds me with songs of deliverance. I just kind of felt like I had a buffer zone around me because I put all those words around me. Okay, my daughter-in-law, Jessica, was praying for me and called me and said, "I want you to listen to the words of these songs, Oceans." And we sing it here at our church. And so in my journal, I wrote, "Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surround me, you've never failed and you won't start now. I will call upon your name and I will keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, I will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior." I taped a picture that I had taken where we live on Lake Darbona of the heavens, beautiful with these stormy skies. And I'm like, that's just going to help cinch it in my mind, those words and God's faithfulness. Now, I'm not sharing everything I wrote in my journal with you because you don't have enough time. But I've also listed friends who called and words of encouragement that Lewis and others sent me and other encounters of God's loving kindness. And during this time, other things were going on. My daughter-in-law, Amy, that's Johnny's daughter, and our son, Colton, they married. And Amy was having tonsil surgery about that time. And y'all know how hard it is for adults. Well, I've heard how hard it is when adults have their tonsils and adenoids out. And Colton was in New Mexico, I think, working. So she was dealing with that, and which resulted in two trips to the ER. And that's when COVID was raging, and, you know, no one wanted to go to the hospital because everybody going in the hospital were COVID, sick people with COVID. And so here I am sitting at the house quarantine, unable to help, you know, my daughter-in-law at all. My other daughter-in-law, Jessica, was pregnant with baby Alden, and she was due any day. She went to the hospital a couple of times. And then John needed outpatient surgery in Shreveport for something. And so it was just, we had four surgeries going, plus a baby being born, going on in 4 weeks, okay? And then before that, John's dad had passed away, and we were trying to help take care of his mother with her needs versus her wants, because there was a really big disconnect right there, you know? So, but what I love about God's scripture and the scripture, the word doesn't say, "I am with you." Unless you have all these other things going on, that's just too much, you know. It doesn't say that. It says, "I am with you." And he was with us. So here comes surgery day, July the 30th. I like to embellish my journal with just any little thing I can put in there to encourage me on this path. And this was what's on my calendar that day. And it said, "All will be well." I said, "Now, God, how did you make that calendar where it could be on July the 30th just for me, because he did that just for me, you know. Okay. Well, during this time, I received two different books from two different friends, and one was the Passion Translation of the New Testament and the Psalms, and then Embraced by Lisa Turquist. And there were two scriptures that I added to my journal. And it says, "You came to my rescue and broke open the way into a beautiful and broad place," Psalms 118:5. And then Psalms 86:11 says, "Teach me your way that I may rely on your faithfulness." I love God's faithfulness. "And give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." On August 5th, I went and I saw my surgeon for a follow-up of surgery, and I found out that the cancer that I had was stage 1A. I don't think you can get any better than stage 1A unless it's no cancer. And then there was no cancer in the nodes or the edges, and they said it was estrogen positive, and there was already a known chemical blocker that would kill that kind of cancer. So I responded in my journal, "Praises to your name, Most High God." We were celebrating. And I added the scripture, Psalms 2:12, "Many are the blessings waiting for all who turn aside to hide themselves in him." I found some more scriptures in Psalms 1:6 in the Passion Translation. It says, "How different it is for the righteous. The Lord embraces their path as they move forward." Boy, my ears were just picking up on, you know, any psalms, any scriptures that had path in it. Psalm 6:4, "Yahweh, return to me and deliver my life, because I know your faithful love is towards me." In 6:9, it says, "Yes, Yahweh, my healer, has heard all my pleadings and has taken hold of my prayers and answered them all." So even though this writing kept me focused, I did have ups and downs, and I had one day where I really crashed and burned. It was the day I had to go meet my radiologist for the first time, and based on what my surgeon had told me, he said, "You're probably not going to need very much. He'll probably just do a few." Well, to me, a few's three, okay? A few targeted radiation sessions. And then my sister had gone through breast cancer 10 years before, and she just had radiation for a week. And so I went in there kind of knowing what was going to be going on. Well, I met with Dr. Bland, and I disagreed with everything that came out of his mouth, okay? Here was the professional telling me what had to be done, and here I was telling him, "Oh, I don't think so." And he kind of looked at me and said, "Okay, and would you put this gown on, and I'll be back." And so when he left, I cried and prayed. And I told God, "You know, you have me on this path. I will do whatever you want me to do on this path." So Dr. Bland came back in and told me that, and I told him that. And then I learned that radiation wouldn't start until I met with my oncologist, because we had to see if I needed chemo and radiation or just radiation. Well, to fill you in on everything else that was happening, Amy made it through her ordeal. John came through his surgery with nicely, let's just say nicely. And baby Alden was born and spent a week in the NICU to get his lungs more developed. John's mom fell and broke her hip, went to the hospital, had surgery, had rehab, and then they sent her to a nursing home. And all that was an answer to prayer, believe it or not. So there was never a let up of pressure. But you know what? God was there every step. So it almost didn't even feel like pressure. Just felt like that's the next thing we're going to do. Well, September 1st, Dr. Barron contacted me and told me that the number for this cancer test that they did, that my numbers fell in the range of no chemo needed. Hallelujah. I was shouting, I didn't want to lose my hair. Okay. Back to radiation and Dr. Bland. Okay, and this is my documented prayer. I said, I'm praying for strength to be strong for this path that God has already planned out for me. And here was Father's reply when I read the Psalms that day. It says, He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in His footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to His name. That was in Psalms 23. And I said, okay, let's do this. Let's bring honor to His name on this pathway. And look at these other verses that He gave me. In my journal, I had written, God, I am so glad you had David write Psalms 37. I guess he's the writer of it. But there are just so many rich scriptures in there that I love. And this was one. I love this one. Give God the right to direct your life. And as you trust Him along the way, you'll find that He pulled it off perfectly. Okay, Kyla. Okay, and in verses 23, the steps of the God-pursuing ones follow firmly in the footsteps of the Lord, and God delights in every step they take to follow Him. And I bet you're like me. You want to give God delight. To even think that we could give Him delight blows my mind. Okay, on October 15th, I finished 20 rounds of radiation with just a couple of minor problems which resolved themselves, and I began a daily pill that I would take for the next 5 years. As of now, I had 3 years and 11 months to go, but who's counting? Okay. Fast forward to April of this year, 2021, my journal reads, I go see Dr. Marks tomorrow for my 6-month follow-up from surgery, but actually it's 9 months and 10 months and 8 days since my diagnosis. Wow, it just felt like a lifetime ago. And I wrote in my journal, I'm up late, I can't sleep, and I was looking at Psalms 139. And I was thinking about this path, and I see these words, and it says, You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. Wow. Makes me want to cry. It says, You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you have followed behind me to spare me from the harms of the past. I was just like, this is so amazing. And so, I want to close with this. It's Psalms 18:30. What a God you are. Your path for me has been perfect. Does that mean I didn't have any problems? No. Does that mean He answered every prayer exactly the way I wanted Him to? No. Does that mean His path for me was perfect? Absolutely yes. Yes. And then I added this too. It says, sometimes the only mean of transportation is a leap of faith. And in closing, Lewis and Sean helped me come up with a song that I had written in my journal that I would sing along the way. And the words are, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord.
Before you sit down, Karen, while we change, it's very possible this morning that somebody's in the beginning of a journey like this. This won't be your last journey. Maybe it won't be the same issue. But would you pray from your position and perspective and having been through this? And I love the interaction you had with God. You talk and He talked back. People, scriptures. Would you pray for that person that may be sitting here today that's going through that difficult place? Would you do that?
Father God, there is none like you. Oh, how we love you, and oh, how you have never left us alone. And oh, how near you are to us. All times. At all times, in every way. And Father, we have people here that have walked the same journey, that are walking the same journey, and are yet to walk a journey like this. But no matter what it is, Father, your word says that you are with us. And you have such riches in your word for us. It is your heart speaking to us. I just pray that the people, the person that's sitting here today and they have something in their future that is full of fear, God, you are already in the future there with them. Time is nothing to you. And so I just pray that there would be a fresh anointing of yourself and of your love and of your faithfulness, of your nearness, that would just wash over their hearts and their minds, that you would give them a fresh hope that you are right there in that fear, and that there you are on the other side of it too, Lord. There is never a moment that they are without you. And Lord, no matter how you answer prayers and bring us through, your love is great. You are faithful. You are near. And you are a God who cares. You are a God who sees. I don't know what else to say, Lord, other than just be all that you want to be in us. Take away doubt or belief and give childlike faith again, I pray. Come in your freshness and your newness, for it's in your most holy and wonderful name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Karen. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search, all eternity. Sing that again. But before we do, if you're here this morning and you say, you know, I'm in the midst of a journey, I want a relationship with God like that, so I can hear his voice in the midst of the path and the difficult places, that he becomes his sunlight on the path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And that's evidenced in what you shared with us this morning. You're not by yourself. There are other believers who are with you. Most of all, and I love what she said, he doesn't abandon us because we got a lot going on. He's with us on our best days and on our most difficult days. And even when we're at our worst, he's with us. If you're here this morning as we stand together, if you'd like us to pray with you, Karen would be willing to pray with you, she and John, others. If you're here this morning and you need prayer for whatever it might be, would you come? Would you give us that privilege? I'm just believing that the God of Karen, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Karen, cares about you too. He really does. As we sing this song together, come cast your care on the Lord, because he cares for you. This. How many of you have had a journey like Karen's? Maybe it wasn't breast cancer, it might have been something else. But you found that he was faithful and he was there with you. He would interject himself into your situation at times when you just were about ready to pull a hair out of your head. Forget chemo, you were going to do it. But there he was, right there as you're walking a highway or sitting at home or in a boat, he came and he's spoken to your heart. Could we sing that as our praise song this morning? There is none. You've been faithful, Lord. You've been faithful.
Search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you.
Call a couple of names, and would you join me in believing God for them? Sister Lila McCarty, Robin, April Smith. There are a list of names that we could go through. Daughters, sons, husbands, wives. Would you believe with us this morning? Father, I pray for my friend April, caught in a dark place, tormented. Bring deliverance to her, I pray. Those who love her most sometimes get the worst licks. I just pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for deliverance. I pray for Sister Lila this morning that you would bring healing to her body, for Robin, her daughter, that you would touch and continue to just help her in her recovery. Father, in the name of Jesus, for Jesse and the surgery that's coming up. For this holiday season, for some folks, it will be the first one without a loved one, and it will be difficult. God of Karen, would you be with them? As they open your word, would you speak comfort to their hearts? They share their innermost feelings with you. Give them the ability to walk through these difficult days ahead. Be a light in their path, a lamp under their feet. Thank you, Lord, for your work in Karen's life, your work in our lives. I just pray for each one that's here today. If there's one here today who doesn't know you, Lord, may they find you the way Karen has, to be an ever-loving God in the midst of difficult places. The shepherd who's there with us in the valley of the shadow of death. When we're surrounded by enemies, you're there. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you for your kindness. As we finish up here this morning, would you take hands with your neighbor? Would you pray for them? You don't know what they're going through. God does. But would you pray for them? Would you do that? Would you pray? Would you pray God's touch on them this morning? God's touch. God's touch. For the hurting heart today, Jesus. It's not physical pain, it's an emotional pain. We ask you to step in the midst of it, Jesus. Step in the midst of it. Or that person that's here today and it's a mess. Jesus, you met Peter by a fire and fed him fish, and then you brought healing to his hurting heart. He had denied you, but you brought healing, recommissioned him. Thank you for your presence in every life. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none.